You're listening to Design Atlas Season 4.
Meet Margot Stoney, a woman whose roots trace back to the vibrant state of Michigan in the United States. Currently calling Missoula, Montana her home, Margot is more than just a resident. She's a creative force to be reckoned with. As a graphic designer, she proudly leads the helm of High Mountain Creative, her very own design studio. In the vast realm of her creative pursuits, Margot focuses her talents on collaboration with conservation groups, nonprofits, and sustainability-minded brands. Her mission is clear. She dedicates her skills to those committed to the noble cause of saving our planet. From the lush landscapes of Michigan to the rugged beauty of Montana, Margot's journey unfolds against the backdrop of a passionate commitment to environmental conservation. Delving into the heart of her work, Margot's canvas extends far beyond the traditional boundaries of graphic design. High Mountain Creative becomes a hub where visuals come to life, pulsating with purpose. The organizations she collaborates with cover a spectrum of initiatives from safeguarding wildlife to championing the circular economy and preserving the delicate balance of forests and rivers. In the intricate dance of pixels and ink, Margot weaves her magic to support these nonprofits. She crafts visuals that tell compelling stories, designs documents that carry the weight of a cause, and engages with anything that can bridge the gap between complex issues and the broader public. Margot's goal is simple yet profound: to make these crucial causes more accessible to all. So as the clock ticks away, Margot Stoney stands at the intersection of creativity and conservation, painting a vivid picture of a designer whose passion extends beyond aesthetics. Through her lens, the world becomes not just a canvas, but a stage for change, and High Mountain Creative emerges as a sanctuary where design meets dedication in the pursuit of a better, more sustainable planet.
I'm a snowboarder, and so that's, you know, that was another kind of driving force of graphic design for me. But I remember, you know, watching this kid do design in Photoshop and thinking, oh my gosh, I can totally do that. You know, I was always kind of a creative kid and like a little bit quirky, and you know, I like to just do like craft projects, but I never really thought of it as translating into something as a career until like the day that I walked into that classroom to take a design course. And so the next semester I signed up and started going, and you know, they run you through the gamut and they teach you Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign and all the different applications and try and help you make it. Like, you know, I remember Detroit has, you know, the International Auto Show, which is a big deal there. And I remember there was a poster design contest and we all, you know, submitted a design, and that was kind of, I found mine the other day. It was terrible. It was like the letters were spelled out using like different tools and gears and like parts of the car. And I'm like, ooh, like, but, but then I kind of, one application that really piqued my interest with graphic design was, I was big into snowboarding. I was a snowboard instructor at our little local mountain. I loved Snowboarder magazine. Like, I was so into the culture and the idea of snowboarding that, you know, by taking these classes, I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to design snowboards. I'm going to work in this industry, and this is like what I'm going to do. Like, I love this. So, you know, I graduated from high school and got accepted to Kendall College of Art and Design in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that was just a super fun experience, like really like nurturing, and you know, all of the instructors, like from the beginning, I had this goal, like all of my projects had something to do with snowboarding or snow or winter or, you know, board sports. And so they were just really, and there were a couple of us, there were a couple of us like, you know, bored kids in school.
Fueled by her love and unwavering excitement for snowboarding, Margot's dream of entering the industry became a reality. During her studies, she ingeniously carved her path by immersing herself in freelance projects, a strategic move that not only showcased her dedication, but also provided her with invaluable industry experience.
I got to kind of, you know, get my foot in the door of, you know, this industry that I was so like excited to be a part of. And of course I got to spend more time in the mountains. I started to like really understand my love for the mountains and that part of the outdoors. And around that time is when I started taking on freelance work. And it was just sort of a way during college to gain experience. So, you know, I didn't really think about, you know, running a business until later. And I, you know, first job out of college, I moved back out to Colorado. I worked in publishing. I worked for a newspaper company in Vail. So that was like the other dream. It was this, I worked second shift at this newspaper from 3 p.m. to 11. So guess what I got to do all day in the mountains? I got to go snowboarding and then go to work and do this job. And so, but again, like freelancing the whole time. Eventually I moved to Lake Tahoe and kind of didn't really know what I was going to do when I moved there. I just knew I wanted to live there, be in the mountains, be by the lake, be in the forest, and was sort of freelancing part-time and doing some random gigs, like working for the Forest Service. I worked at an art gallery doing sales, which I was terrible at. And then eventually got a full-time job working in-house at a major ski resort doing graphic design and marketing. And so that was kind of another dream job for me. And I got to learn a lot. I worked with a lot of really smart marketing people, a lot of really smart business people. And it was kind of during that time, between all of my freelance experience and all the experience I had gained from these in-house jobs, that I really felt like I was ready to go off on my own.
In 2013, Margot had a transformative experience when she embarked on her first trip to Europe. Visiting Germany, France, and Belgium, she utilized her meager 2 weeks of paid time off from her job. However, this adventure sparked a realization. The limited time felt insufficient, prompting Margot to contemplate the paradox of dedicating an entire year's savings to a mere two-week escape.
I need to go longer. I need to see more. And that was sort of the catalyst to want to quit my job and start High Mountain Creative full-time. I'd started High Mountain Creative, I mean, probably back in, well, you could say when I started freelancing in 2005, but officially I think I trademarked the name in like 2011 or something. And so all this time it was sort of in my back pocket, but it wasn't until 2014 that I left my job at the ski resort to do it full-time and just really focus on it. And the rest is history.
Margot has worked with a rich tapestry of conservation efforts in Missoula and its surrounding areas, showcasing the myriad angles from which the vital work unfolds. Immersed in a landscape teeming with diverse nonprofits, she discovered not only ample professional opportunities, but also a wellspring of inspiration. The convergence of research, science, and dedicated efforts in the region became an unexpected blessing in disguise.
I started to get kind of that eco-anxiety, like the climate anxiety, you know, not long after I went out on my own. So, you know, 2015, 16, 17, I started kind of feeling like, you know, things are getting bad, you know, with pollution and climate change and just like politics, and like things are getting bad, and I'm just over here like designing like posters for ski resorts, or I felt like I wasn't going to be able to do what I needed to do as a graphic designer. And I kind of had this just like a lot of soul searching and like little existential crisis about, am I gonna go back to school for, you know, wildlife biology, or do I need to go and learn how to be like an environmental engineer and help invent like, you know, some new form of alternative fuel, or, you know, a eco-friendly version of Gore-Tex. In 2015, I had my first nonprofit client. I was working with American Rivers, and they're a nonprofit that they do advocacy and conservation work to protect rivers in the United States. And I didn't think of it until many years later, but doing work with them, I was kind of helping the people on the front lines that were doing good and helping fight climate change. And you know, through them, I got referrals to other nonprofits. And the more I started doing nonprofit work, I realized like I didn't have to reinvent myself or reinvent my business to be able to help with these issues that I was so concerned about and just felt hopeless about.
Margot recognized her unique value in the conservation arena shortly after her first nonprofit client. Armed with a distinctive skill set, she noticed a crucial gap within these organizations, a gap that went beyond the realms of science and fundraising expertise. It dawned on her that while these entities possessed an abundance of scientific knowledge and fundraising prowess, they grappled with presenting complex ideas in an accessible manner. As a graphic designer, she seamlessly transitioned intricate concepts into visually compelling narratives. Whether through infographics, illustrations, or meticulously crafted maps, Margot's ability to communicate visually became the bridge that transformed complex data into approachable and engaging content. In doing so, she became an indispensable asset, adding a new dimension to the impactful work of these conservation organizations.
Like that kind of clicked for me, and that made me realize like I don't have to be a scientist. Like there's a lot of scientists that are helping with climate change, and like I can be kind of like the creative brain and like work on the other side of it.
In the vast landscape of conservation efforts, Margot Stoney found herself deeply entrenched in a project that reverberated with significant implications for both the environment and the organizations she collaborates with. One noteworthy initiative involved her partnership with the Native Fish Society and the American Rivers. Together, they embarked on a mission to advocate for the removal of 4 dams on the Klamath River, straddling the border between Northern California and Southern Oregon. The stakes were high, as these dams posed ecological challenges and hindered the natural flow of the river. The culmination of their tireless efforts came to fruition in November 2022, as a momentous decision was handed down. The federal authorities had ruled in favor of the dam removal, marking a substantial victory for the Native Fish Society, American Rivers, and the cause of environmental conservation.
So that was a huge win. It's the largest dam removal project in the world. It's going to restore 400 miles of natural habitat for threatened fish, and it's going to be a big focus for a lot of restoration projects along that river and the communities that are, you know, that are along the Klamath River. So that was a huge win last year. It was really cool to see so many different organizations and people and groups working together to make that happen. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't directly part of this. I wasn't, you know, talking to Washington or doing, you know, I wasn't like somebody on the ground, but I was helping communicate this cause. And I, through helping these organizations, you know, gain supporters and be able to speak to a wider audience, like I feel like I was, you know, one of the people kind of like in the back, just like, yeah, I helped with that. And, you know, that's how change has to happen. Like, just people working together. It's like all of these little grassroots movements coming together to make a big voice. And that's why it's important to, you know, work on a project like this and speak up.
Margot advocates for transformation in the way information is presented, steering away from the conventional and often inaccessible forms of data dissemination. Instead of confining vital insights within the pages of reports or articles laden with technical details, Margot champions the idea that information can be wielded as a visual narrative.
In her vision, the impact is not confined to experts or scholars. It extends to a broader audience, so visually simple, a fourth grader should understand. This approach aims to make complex concepts not only digestible, but also emotionally resonant, fostering a connection between the audience and the critical environmental issues at hand. Margot sees her graphic design skills as a powerful tool for making conservation accessible and relatable to people of all ages.
I feel like that's something that can kind of be missing. And, some of these groups are really hungry for a creative to come in and help them create something like this because they're so caught up in their cause. They don't see the outside of it. And so like, I'm kind of this person who bridges the gap and says like, this piece of information that you're trying to communicate to the public is really complex and it's really confusing. Like, I don't get it. Like, I need us to like work together and for you to explain this to me in a way that I can understand so that I can help you communicate this.
Margot Stoney's commitment to environmental sustainability extends beyond the canvas and into the very ethos of her creative endeavors. As the proud leader of High Mountain Creative, her design studio stands as a testament to responsible practices. Amidst the prevailing confusion surrounding the term carbon neutral, Margot explains the principles that underpin her studio's environmentally conscious approach. Operating as a remote studio with minimal overhead, she has already cultivated a relatively small ecological footprint. However, the concept of carbon neutrality adds an extra layer of conscientiousness to her creative process. In the ensuing dialogue, Margot provides insights into the intricacies of achieving carbon neutrality and the significance of such practices in the realm of graphic design and creative entrepreneurship.
I calculate the carbon that I use throughout the year. You know, obviously like planting trees is a pretty common carbon offset. I try to do some projects that are a little bit more, like localized and meaningful. And this last year I contributed to a project that helped protect grasslands here in Montana to help with carbon sequestration. I also just kind of throughout the year helped support nonprofits. Like, I'm really into birds, so the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and the Audubon are big ones that I like to support. Really like having kind of a small footprint and being able to be really picky about the types of projects that I take on and the type of people I work with. And I'm also a big proponent of work-life balance. Like, I don't want to be a workaholic. I don't want to have so much responsibility and obligation that I don't have time to do the things that I love doing and spending time outside and things like that. So yeah, I'm small but mighty.
In the realm of sustainable design and environmental communication, Margot Stoney takes on the crucial responsibility of ensuring transparency and authenticity. Margot recognizes the potential pitfalls of a deceptive practice known as greenwashing. Greenwashing involves the misleading portrayal of an organization's environmental practices, often through deceptive marketing or communication strategies. Companies engaging in greenwashing may make exaggerated or even false claims about their commitment to sustainability, creating this illusion of environmental responsibility without much action.
I'll go ahead and use big oil as an example of how they, you know, there could be a product of gasoline that's called, you know, like green tech or something. And, you know, you have the word green in there. And so you think like, oh yeah, it's like good for the environment. There's a leaf on the logo. And that's kind of a form of greenwashing because there's probably not anything actually environmentally friendly about it or green about it. It's just kind of like this, subconscious decision to, you see those things and you think that it's good for the environment. And so just making sure that if you're involved in a project that where greenwashing is potentially being used, just like speaking up and using your voice and just making sure that you're, you know, authentic and being transparent about what kinds of information you're spreading. And as designers, we have that power to decide what, you know, how stuff gets put out. So, yeah.
And so, in the final moments of this episode with Margot Stoney, we find ourselves captivated by the intersection of creativity and environmental stewardship. Margot's journey from the expansive landscapes of Michigan to the thriving conservation community of Missoula, Montana, unveils a profound narrative of purpose-driven design. Through High Mountain Creative, her carbon-neutral studio, Margot not only translates complex environmental issues into visually compelling narratives, but also champions authenticity in the face of greenwashing. Her commitment to making sustainability accessible, coupled with a keen awareness of the ethical responsibilities inherent in design, invites us to reflect on the transformative potential of creative endeavors in shaping a more conscientious and sustainable future. As we bid farewell to this insightful conversation, we hope that Margot Stoney's story resonates as a testament to the impactful role we as designers play in fostering a deeper connection between individuals and the urgent causes that need desperate action in the imminent global environmental crisis. For more information about Margot Stoney, visit our website, designatlaspod.com. Don't forget to follow our show on Instagram at designatlaspod or join our Slack community. All these details and more can be found in the show notes of the episode. Love what we're doing on Design Atlas? Make sure to give us a positive review on your favorite podcast streaming platform. We'd really appreciate it. Stay tuned for our next episode, which launches next Thursday, featuring Dr. Rebecca Green, who serves as both a lecturer and researcher at the University of New South Wales Art and Design within the Faculty of Arts, Design, and Architecture. With a rich background in graphic design and sociology, she brings a unique interdisciplinary perspective to her work. Driven by a passion for effective communication, her research delves into the intricate world of visual communication in the context of climate change. Through her expertise as an experienced graphic designer and illustrator, Dr. Green explores the profound impact that the language of graphic design can wield in influencing the reception and trust in strategic climate messaging. You're listening to Design Atlas, Season 4.